These are the recollections of Rabbi Aaron Kravitz about Rav Aaron Kotler and his relations with his father, Rabbi Mendel, Nachum Mendel Kravitz. What is your first recollection of Rabbi Aaron through your father?
I would say when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my father took me up to Rabban Rooms in Borough Park. My father went to see him often because he was a Talmud back from Slutsk in 1917. So
he was a Talmud in Slutsk?
Yes, 1917. So I went up to Rabban, and Rabban asked me if you were conscious of Chumash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall.
What exactly
what
was it?
I don't recall what it was there. Then he asked me, to read a Rashi or something,
yeah.
Right? So I set over the Rashi, but I translated it in English.
Uh-huh.
In English. So I don't even, I think my father tried to translate. And Ron said, "Good, good, good." To the Vol Zen. I think he said, "I wanted to see if he could read the words."
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't interested.
Yeah. Just well, what yeshiva were you going to?
Yeshiva Brighton.
Uh-huh.
I was in the eighth grade. So Rabban, my father asked him for a bracha, so he said, there's a line. He said it like that, you know, right. It's a line, and that's the bracha, it's a line. That's the thing, the first time I remember seeing Rabban. Before that, I always heard in the
house. What did you hear about him from your father before that?
Even when I was a child, even then, you know, Rabban this, Rabban that, there was different in Yonim going on about setting up Lakewood, about different in Yonim, you know, personal, different in Yonim. So the name of Ron and his Rebbetzin Hanatero,
yeah.
I heard the name, this was, you know, five, four, you know, that was a name constantly in the house. Constantly in the house, the name of Ron. Those years, what was going
what
on?
Year, what years was that?
Those were probably from 1950 to 54, uh-huh. 55, those mm-hmm. years. Those years when Torah was beginning to get its footing in America.
Yeah.
Those years was part of my father being in the association, sending Bochum to Bochum, going back and forth, and there was so many different issues which I really, as I got older, I got clear on the issues and what was involved in the Agnes Nefesh, all these things which was not, now it's not time, has no value to rehash it or rediscuss it. Those who know, those who don't know, not who you have to know.
Uh-huh.
But there was many, many different issues on different fronts, different, it was not an easy time for even on the Rabban and to restore this whole concept of Zotaka Lenin. So Lenin.
Do you have any examples of those
issues? I refuse to discuss those issues. During the hespit of my mother, I mentioned, I alluded to them. In the hespit in Eretz Yisrael, one of my fathers told me that Moshe Zaks alluded to them a little more openly about it because he was a Talmud then in 1949-50.
Mm-hmm.
So he was aware of the whole concept of a setting up Torah. The way Torah design, the way we see it now, was so he mentioned my comments on what was involved in being helpful with my father, you know, pushing it through. And it's not, it's irrelevant, but those were very, so the name of Ban, and that we you know, was constantly Lakewood with Ban and all these things there. And I never, the name Lakewood was really a very, I never heard the name Lakewood so much. It was more Rabban and Rabban this, but I'm not sure Rabban. I knew it wasn't around the corner, but Lakewood didn't mean anything to me. It was more.
You were never here?
The Lakewood name, I never heard
that. But you never came here?
Where?
To Lakewood.
No, I'm saying in my house, uh-huh. The name Lakewood, the city Lakewood was not.
Yeah. That's the issue.
It was Rabban, Rabban with Taylor.
Yeah.
No,
Lakewood.
Yeah,
like, makes sense.
Lakewood had no bearing. So, I mean, of course, it's Rabban to be, you know, the Spanish Gavol was in Lakewood, but that's what it was there. Over the years, in this respect, now it's 65 years. Let's say more than 65 years, since close to 70 years. This whole consulting with America and Rabban by Torah. Over the years, I've always picked up through my father, through my mother, like, how did this whole thing ever happen that Rabban came to America? And there's, my father never spoke about it in a direct sense, but he was trying to get across to us that, to the children, and a few people who really cared to know that Reb Chaim Eiser in Europe realized, as well as other Gedolim, that Torah in Europe is coming to an end. And he realized that in 1928, 29, 30,
it wasn't in 1940.
They realized that.
It wasn't a sudden thing.
The realization that the Torah, Yiddishkeit, Ganz Kreisrael was in for a total upheaval, a total. Chofetz Chaim was always spoken about the Chobanis that's going to be. But I'm speaking about the issue of Torah now. Reb Chaim Eiser was the one of all the Gedolim who was the forefront that Torah is going to be resold in America. That was uniquely Reb Chaim Eiser's understanding that only Rabban could do that. That the way the Hashkoch is running the world and the way Torah Vetzlach Avetzstone is only through Rabban in America. Reb Chaim Eiser understood that. He said many times, I mean, my mother heard it, my father heard it from my grandfather, Ben Berry.
Who was your grandfather?
It was Banar with the Vadi Shivas. And, you know, there
was. His name?
What?
What was his name?
Rabban Berik.
Berik.
Yeah, he was Banar from the Vadi Yeshivas, so he knew the whole Cheshbon was going on with the Yeshivas, with the Amazing involved all the Yeshivas about what the Bnei Torah. And when Vilna, when they all came to Vilna before. And Rabban understood, and my father being a Talmud Rabban, both being an Adam by Rabban Berik, was because of Chaim Eiser, understood that that's the way it's going to have to be. That Torah in America was actually Ibubayim with Rabban Kotel. It wasn't just coming, God will come to America with a letter Torah, enough buying Torah from ground zero up. And the way, if you look back in history, in the way the Moshe Mitzvah developed, first it was Hatzalah, about the Bishop Hatzalah during the war years. About America, there's other time about Kalmanovich, we love about Kalmanovich, and then my trash, there was other ways of silver about Hatzalah, but the fire behind this whole Van Hatzalah that became a vibrant part after the Bnei Torah in Shanghai and the Bnei Torah, whoever they were, what the primary achrayus, and this is going to start with the veil, that untayrah, nobody untayrah, there's not going to happen, there's no kim chayisal. And this was something that Rabban understood, the way the hashkoch affairs, and was on his achrayus, he understood this achrayus. That all, he shared it from Chaim Eiser. I said, Rabban, when he came to America, his sphere was Rabbi Zalman, who was still alive, was in Eretz Yisrael. His old Eim Mishpoch he had was in Eretz Yisrael, not in America. If anything, the easiest thing for him to go to Eretz Yisrael would be the Goyim Rabban. America was a whole new challenge, a whole new world, something which had to be totally reinvented, restarted. Had where to go.
He was here once or twice before, no?
Yeah, but everybody went here before, but doesn't mean that this is where he had to go after the war.
No, I'm saying that, whatever, I wanted to get a point that he knew more or less what America was about.
Well, I'll speak about that issue. That issue we know. About how the issue of America was about, in a different vein. In 1937, Rabbi Yishur was an American,
right.
Came to Kless for
Was in the house
with Rabban. Rabban asked my father to learn with Gedal Yishur.
To learn with him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My father learned with him. I mean, every time I see Gedal Yishur's children, they mention that to me, that my father was in Kless.
Your father was older.
Yeah. Not that much, not at all. Yeah. So my father said that when he started out in Yankov Yosef, that Rabban understood that my father would have to understand the American mentality. So that's why he came to run the Gedalia Shul.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just so to be a chavrusa because my father was my father. I mean, that's not the... But just that to understand...
But he was a nice couple of years with Rabban.
Well,
from your father.
My father was there from...
17.
From about 17 until the war. My father was in Brisk a couple of years, three years in Brisk. He went back to Clinton though, but my father was in Brisk. So. And this was, so Rabban knew what was going on. What he saw in America, didn't see in America, I don't know what he saw in America was, but Rabban understood from Chaim Moshe that this is the Achrayus, this is where his God was fearing. And it was Taka Matzliach because he had that strong emunah, not just to be a God of the Torah, which Rabban was, I mean, but that he is the one that's going to starve it to him. He's the one that's going to be the kesher from what became Nechra, was the Chorban, to come over to America.
He had the ruchnich, the koiches to do the job.
And it was Maimon that if Chaim Weiser held this way, that that's the way it is. Because there was a lot of different inyanim going on before the war. For instance, when the war, if Chaim was nifta, if they should go through Russia, not go through Russia, different things over there. And Emerson is, even when Obama was alive, so a lot of people thought, from our subconscious, I'm not going to say, that maybe it's only Obama's, like he's alive, he'll do it. It's because of Obama. Well, they know, you know, Achamev Esrin. Who says how strong it was? And Bemison, the Velt thought that after Rabban, Rabbi Marlon would be the one who would be the Freikam Atayr, would be the Sar Atayr. Because Rabbi Marlon already was in Vilna, tremendous Kayach. He was with the thing, he had to go through Russia, not to go. Rabbi Marlon was the one who said he should go. And all the stories about that, which my mother was involved, which only came out now by the shiur, because my mother don't want to say the stories, but some people know the stories.
Some people went to Shanghai, other people went through Russia.
No. No one went through Shanghai, no one went through Russia. It's all, okay, it's irrelevant, the stories. The only way out to get with the Japanese passports was to go through Russia for a lot of stuff, take the boat to Kobe, and then go wherever they had the visas.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had to go through Russia to get to Kobe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an issue at that point, why should the Yidden go through Russia during the war? They'll take the train, they'll capture the train, and everybody's on the train. They'll just put them in Siberia, shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Malin was the strongest one that says, no, this is the only hatsor we have, this is what we have to do. This is Chaim Moshe's whole business with Moshe Zupnik and the other people, my grandfather with the visas and all the things, the who gets and everything, that this is the way to go. As a side mention to this whole issue here, Chatzko would say, Klaw, that in a different way, spoke about it in a Derech Remiza, but everybody understood in one of these forms that they put Mizrach Shemesh Yerushalayim also, that the Yidden came to a Matzav now, like they came to Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yam Suf, no place where to go.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be someone to say, go. Takavisal, they had to travel on a train. So the biggest leichem for it is a leimalon. In a hagamah zodek doyvah, whatever the hezbe is, in which my mother never wanted to speak about it, my father definitely wanted to speak about it, is why do so many doyvah there, why did they have that big merits to do what the leimalon did to get up and say we have to do it? I don't know. My father never spoke about it. My mother said, no, didn't want to speak about it. But these are the facts. So Rablai was the one that would be the leichem atayr in America. And Rabbi was nifta before Rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous yish by everybody. That's going to be. And again, this after Rabbi was nifta, there were many. Torah had a certain, let's say, rifian, a certain shvachkeit, a showed the letter during the shiva that my father wrote to a pastor in 65 about the issue. The pastor said, Chas v'shalom, there should be such a thing. So I was a veteran. I have the letters. You know. Anyone who wants to see the letter is invited to come look at it. I'm just not going to hear. And incidentally, that letter, the Chatzkel said that he has to speak to the only one that could handle this thing is Rav Shach. Mm-hmm. That's 1965 or 66. Mm-hmm. And this is when Rav Shach then was compared to the other guy, was just a younger man. Mm-hmm. But those who understood who Rav Shach was, understood Rav Shach had the koyach, mm-hmm. give the eitz, the chokhmah, to understand what's going on. So Rav Shach was in Klutz with Rabban. Uh-huh. Sure he was in Rabban in Klutz. Understand Rav Shach was the same Shmacha with his Shmacha, the Bishas Alman and Rabban, all cousins, his cousin or something mm-hmm. like that. So the recollection that I have was that Rabban was, besides just being a god with everything, he was Bamish, the Reya, like Mesh Rabbeinu. He was the way of Klal Yisrael. That this has to be Torah, and he has to do it. My father knew about it, and my father was Rabban in those years, and even after Rabban was just kept up that whole that Torah.
What were some of the examples of what your father actually did?
The only thing my father did that's known in the whole world is that the Bochum learned by him when he went to Lakewood.
Like some of the Bochum that came.
Meir Hershkowitz, Moshe Hirsch, different Meir Stern, all these. I tell you, one of the Rosh Yeshivas today all went to Yankel Joseph. The whole Yankel Joseph system got changed, got set up, that they should produce the Bochum they have to go to learn. There's many, many more. There's names, yes. The Ikro group of Tamidim in the early years became. You know, Anglophlans, this Torah was from RJJ, was from Yankov Yosef, all the Talmidim, the Shiva, if some went earlier, it was all because Ray was in the system. My father was the one in Yankov Yosef that carried on.
What position did your father hold in the Yankov Yosef?
My father was the Rosh Yeshiva. Mm-hmm. Rabban put my father in Rosh Yeshiva. For that purpose, to have the Talmidim get older and become right to go learn.
You said your father put him in through who?
No, Rabban put him in.
Rabban put him in through who?
So Yankov Yosef.
Who was his connection?
Bunim, Irvin Bunim.
Oh,
Bunim.
Uh-huh.
And now your father goes to Smichen.
What about Smichen?
The part of the...
Your father had Smichen from Baron?
Yes, yeah. So I have the letter here. It says, show the doing the Shiva also. We can't speak for him. He says, I'm not so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. And that was part of the whole thing. Those Bachar who didn't want to stay in Lakewood or anything, mm-hmm. that they should, even if soon to become our bottom, they should still affect the such a thing called the Nemesis of Smicha. It's about that people have to learn to become a Rav. And just go through a system and take tests. Mm-hmm. And this was, some of them went to Lakewood, some of them went to Lakewood, not all of us, Smicha, went into our bodies. But the idea that someone who's a Rav, a Shul, is not a rabbi, mm-hmm. has to be a Talmud Chacham. That's the whole concept of Bani Torah.
That was your father's thing or Rabban?
Everything was Rabban. Uh-huh. Rabban understood that it's not important that whether these people come up on them, but uh-huh. they should be avedishtot that a Rav in America is not a rabbi. Uh-huh. But that was not the Ikud Sil. The Ikud Sil was that everything has to revolve and be involved with Torah. Uh-huh. And so those years, the only name in the house was Rabban and his rabbis, and Rabban Pell. And of course my father was a bit biased by Rabban, so it was Rabban Pell that they used to speak all the time. So that's what it is over there. So, Rabban, to the immediate families, to my father, to Yankov Yosef Talmidim, who understood this, have a whole different perception of what Rabban is. Because they all know Avad, no Shaiva, no Rabban is the God of, Satayra. But what does it mean, Satayra? What does Satayra mean? And he took on the Achrayas that he understood that was Achrayas. That Torah, that's a Hebrew boy in America, and that's the Ashkochas, the Ashkocha fear that day. And there's no alternative to Klal Yisrael, only through Torah, and it had to be in America. Exactly what had to be in America, not any place else, I can't answer that. But that was...
Where did they say from?
Sefer Chayav
Elozer.
Chayav Elozer, yeah. Chayav Elozer, so that became Torah, that became, Chayav Elozer said became in lieu of Yashik Lavoif, and someone had to do it. And that's, and Chayav Elozer understood that this is the time that this, that it wasn't World War I that's going to be it, World War II is going to be it. And of course, World War I, like my father said once, World War One, the Ban Chotel was just a younger man. World War Two, he was a sad table. Almost 20 odd years from World War II was the whole growth in the Ban in whatever table is.
You saw about it many times.
Many times.
Mostly just the impression that you by look by seeing it.
No, you see, you saw by him as. And once said the fire of Torah and the Menuchas and Nefesh all in one person.
You could see it in the personality. Yeah. He radiated this.
Yeah, the same thing, the fire of Torah, like a silver thing, and then the same thing, Menuchas and Nefesh. Right? It was like the contradiction of the Torah is so boiled, but Emerson is not a contradiction. Mm-hmm. That's the way it really is. Mm-hmm. But this the fire, like, you know, this and that. And then I heard about him, somebody called him up with a Shiloh. I said, the mother was over there. I was in the Rabban house over there. I must have been 10 or 11. I had no idea what's about. Mm-hmm. But the Rabban was tired of stating, Rambam says this and that. And this and that. He probably called him up just for a kashi, just, you know, something that needed, you know. The whole thing over there. And then the whole thing, as soon as, you know, then the whole thing, you could see, the whole fight was like, it wasn't, you know, the screaming which was so loud. It was the intensity. You know, when you try to pick up the intensity of a voice, well, then the volume of the voice is the intensity, the conviction of what one is talking about. I love it. Anyway, after that, he tells my father what was going on. So my father asked him something. So it was again the whole thing. Back and forth was the whole, and all but all, the Menuchas HaNefesh, which is, you know, like a sad time, like the general time. This is what, you know. This is an insight which I have only because of my mother's family and my father's Talmud. So we saw Rabban perhaps in a Ketodif at Malach HaLikim, because he was Mamish. That was his tafka, to be the Shliach Hashem, Mamish the Shem, Mamish the Shliach Hashem, to do this over here. My father one time told me that if you speak about a gadol, speak about gadol, I'm a Talmidim, you will be an avelt. Pshat is, there's a munas chachomim, this is what it is there. If you looked at history and understood history, and then you saw this whole thing going on, it wasn't a munas chachomim in Rabban. Your mamish saw the Yad Hashem. Uh-huh. It was mamish. You had to be, my father said often, Ablinde Votos Gekenzed. No, the Tzor is the Blinde Kevonishtuch gemacht. The ganze Geschäft. I mean, Europe and the whole thing that went on. But once you understood this whole thing, that Rabban was Bamish, it was
self-evident.
What?
Self-evident.
Well, it wasn't self-evident. It was because it was a boy, but you just saw it, like your mamish saw. And there's also nine different yonim that Rabban stood against, in Yiddish kind, Ashkofa, about different yonim, with the rabbis and those issues and all these things over there. Funny is to say, he says Nebuch. He says Amazon says I'm a blind, this is a schwach. He says it's a very blind, this is one that copped as a fatant. As McClap saying, my funny is a Russian author, McClap saying cop on the cop is Mitchtain, how to scan it. My used to say stain in the cop, the chef. Like he couldn't understand. How come they don't see it?
Like, obvious.
That's what it is. That's all. So I'm not saying in a Malach HaLikim in person that if you just understood, saw the Ashkofa, saw what was going on, and afterwards, after the Baal Nifter, those people who thought that maybe they thought they had a Havamina Efshim with the Shanazan Abyssal Ritsu from Rabban. You know, my father said, wasn't he? Was no don't like him from Rabban. This was the Mitzvah of Rabban. It has to go on, and that's all. But Yad Hashem doesn't stop it. It goes right on. I'm sure the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu, Tash Kodesh Baruch Hu, right on. And there was one of the Rosh Yeshivas, one of the Yankif Yosef. I don't want to say his name because when I mentioned this thing to him, something says, bless him, and that's his name. He was in Leibler, but said he was going on. I was in Leibler, Zabach, also. So I told him, remember such a meeting? He said, he's smart. He says, but after instead of hanging there, I'm so listen that. So you can have payers look what's going on. Mm-hmm. There was so many different things going on.
People didn't believe it would work.
They didn't believe it would work. They didn't see it. They just couldn't be massive. And there was another thing also that in America, Yiddishkeit was so schwach, that's what my father was saying there, that if someone came and said it's Maruch Hashem, if Yitaka said, they won't believe it because no pretender so wide away from this type of Hashgah, of Emissa, Amun is so wide away that they couldn't believe it. Come someone said it's, even if he said, I think one time I mentioned about the Moses of Novi Shebi once he asked me.
Yeah, no.
You remember Shabbos morning in the shul?
Oh, no, I wasn't there.
You were asking me about the Rambam, but Novi Shek had given a similar.
Oh, yeah.
Shabbat the Maul did. The Shabbat says that even someone came and gave someone on the Seyrat, and today's version of Novi Shek.
Huh?
Today's version of Novi Shek.
That day is?
Today's version of a Novi Shek.
Uh-huh.
People are running away. And you have to understand, to a certain sense, Yiddishkeit in America, the way they called Yiddishkeit, was going on. And a Baal Bas gave money to this and this and that, and now Rabban Kamp says, also fine, but this is not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Someone who's 50, 60 years old, write out checks for chesed and stock and everything, tell him, I'll see the value, but this is not what it's about. Very hard for someone to be saved with that. Mm-hmm. It's a big sign to be saved with that. It's a big sign to be saved with that Yiddishkeit can only survive only if you have children who are doctors, professors, mathematicians, engineers. Uh-huh. Yiddishkeit can survive with time itself.
They're still saying that.
They didn't stop saying that, but there's enough people who don't say it. That's the key material. Yeah. That's the key material that they tell you. I mean, Mitzvahs of Leifel, of course, but all these other places, that's the Beitzach, everything. That's Torah that they understand. People understand that on Torah they start in Yiddishkeit. In the Chassidish Kreis, they understand that their life and that they have to have Torah without Torah.
I mean, Rabban put this down for everybody, not just for his people. So
no,
the whole concept in
the whole concept of Yiddishkeit in this way, in Rabbi Chaim says, where's the goal? Is that the where's the goal is only Torah. Like every goal is only Torah. But in America, of course, America doesn't change. The belt is, the British one felt the same belt, it's a goal. This goal.
I'm saying, Alan Kreisen, I mean, he had influence in many Kreisen.
Listen, look at today. Today, look at let's say, take this Fathership community, which is relatively newer to this thing. All of them come to realize that without the Torah, even their community can't hold.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hold on Torah. Torah is what keeps Christ on Torah is.
But I'm saying is Rabban is the one who put that principle down in America. He made it happen.
He made it happen. Not put it down. Many people put it down. But
no, I mean, put it down to make it the fest.
And make it, that became part of our.
Right. Nobody else represented that.
No one else. That was Rabban's class. That's what that's a Maruch Hu Kim. So, you know, you ask me my impressions. You speak about a Maruch Hu Kim. It's something I have no shakers to because you speak about a different, you know, a different mahus, like a different god of writing dialogue. I don't know what the shown the pagan name wants to cover that Torah, but this Messias was those in Mesa Talmud. Remember Rabbi Malan. That was Rabbi Malan was in that category. Besides Rabbi was another god, but in that category that's the Torah
and the Sarah Torah
means that you are going to put Torah down. The Torah is the key of Makhonisrael. And the Atzlocha of Makhonisrael, and Atzlocha of Torah, and Atzlocha of, you know, to Makhonisrael, Mashiach is only for Torah. That's all.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Nothing else is going to work. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. And Chesed Hashem, the Rabbi Shalom, with his, you know, Chesed Elyon, put in America, Rabban, and, you know, all of us today, Mamish.
Kira Dias Mirosh, isn't a Mamish like that?
This generation is the generation that is all the proof that after the Chaim Moses generation, that this is what the Chaim Moses saw, had whatever.
Nitzchis.
Yeah, the Nitzchis. Chaim Moses was the god of the Maske Shebeharif, man. There's no question that in Europe, every god, what the Chaim Moses said was gezupt. It doesn't matter what they held or didn't hold. The Rebbe Shalom Shnolovek. And that'd be a Chaim Moses to Shnolovek, this type of thing. And Rabban should be a mamshach of it. That's all. Because if you just, again, as I mentioned before, if you just look back, just a simple question, why did Rabban have to come to the parochet? Not the answer, so I'll build right there. It would have been definitely a much easier chumra. Mm-hmm. So here Rabban was a lone man. He did it all himself. And it still has to be yeshiva, so my father was involved in that. And, you know, whatever it is there, people, not involved, it's irrelevant. All the stories is all born in the bridge because it makes no difference. Because at the end, I'm sitting here, I see a rabbi being in Lakewood. Mm-hmm. And you look outside the window, what do you see? B'nai Torah, you see, what do you see? You see B'nai going every morning running to Beis Shalom, you see them running to 7th Street, to Beis Shalom, what do you see? You see, and I share, you know.
He created that
all these people who have their children sitting and learning, not only here, everywhere.
All over.
People, they did themselves learn. They went to school, they're professionals in business, but they understood that this is somehow in this whole racist hostage of America. So whatever it is that they see. Not everybody in Lakewood comes from people whose grandfather was a great friend of Leonard Mayer was in Shanghai. These are not my ideas. This is a ruach that he gave. And the ruach got into every single circle. Mm-hmm. And even those circles that still fight it, as you mentioned it,
They have to unterteilen again.
That's what it is, because everything else is either, and it will tell you even, in the so-called places, it's either what they call to the right or to the left.
They're all influenced.
Yeah, to the right means eventually they tell you, and to the left is Machman Watson, that Yidden who just have no shacks to Yiddish guys. Mm-hmm. They just have no shacks. There's nothing left. That's it. So then Mashiach Baku said they give Mishru Rishayim, you know, so Mishru the dog. That's the Messiah's kind of
thing. And Swiches, Loch Atara Zois.
Yeah, that's all. That's what it is. So these are, I think I'm saying things that I don't know too many people are so much privy on an individual basis to see it.
Right.
Everybody saw about later and didn't, and couldn't, I don't know, they weren't well versed in the whole background and history of what's going on.
At least today they take it for granted.
They can take it for granted, it's Baruch Hashem good. That means they understand that this is how it has to be. There's no other way. And it's going to be this way. That's how it is. And you know, Sabaitzach every place. Shivas, Chadorim, Kherim everywhere. And afterwards, Nasa started this Kherim everywhere. All these in the other, these are dusty continuation that this goes of that Torah is the only thing that's going to be the key of Machlis. It doesn't matter if it's Brooklyn or Carolina or wherever they go over there, or they go now, or they go now in Australia, or wherever they go over there. Mm-hmm. Over Rabbi Moses Mahal's look at this whole thing, I'll give you a short demonstration. In my father's in the summer in La Vista, Zucker had it in La Vista. And then they were after Ready Russia was coming to Glasnost, and they were able to sort of go to Russia, get Yidden out. Mm-hmm. They were talking, making shivas and films and litter. They still have something that's. So my father was there, my father had Parkinson's.
He went to Europe?
No, my father wasn't there. Some people came and said, I'm building this thing. So my father said, it's good, I'll bear out this. He doesn't offer it.
The Russians?
Now the whole deal with Europe and building things too much, we must leave. So somebody asked him, why? He said, Rav Chaim is exact as Europe is getting it. History has proven that's what happened. Europe was over. Maybe to go back to do something, make you know, to be Macau people, but eventually don't have this terror in Europe. Rav Chaim was
on. Didn't he say that it's going to be revived?
Yeah, that's what he said. And this is, you know, I keep telling you before many times, we went over the Maharaj Al-Kim, you meet that different Muslims, so what's the recollections? It's all like, it's like looking at something and you know what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You're seeing over there. There's a, at the time of that was in the 6 o'clock minyan, and there was a year to Saul Abramson. He was one of the original signers of the Young Israel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in 1903. I don't know if his mom was the first group. He was a farmer, and he told me a story once. He says after the war, somebody made some type of meeting for about to make some money for yeshivas, this and that, whatever. That. And all the people came. Well, he says for states that all share Shabbos. Yeah, and basically, he says all of us like him. You know, put a chumash and lashi, if you could, I mean, thus you can't, sheen of an amayla. This is 46, 47. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have a meeting in this person's office, and Raman, whoever the MC was over there, whoever was the chairman, introduces Raman. Mm-hmm. And Raman speaks for 20 minutes, and he says, Mishtei Tzach, they all saw this, you know, the fight and everything, but he says, well, no idea what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the big Gemara, Mishnah, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I was all impressed at the intensity, you know, they could see, when he told me your terminology, the Amos at Taylor, you know, this is like my terminology, this is, you know, my account of the term. Anyway, after the sting over there, one of the Yidden come over to a man that says, called him a Rebbe, spoke to him in Yiddish, he spoke to him in Yiddish, English. He's in Shul on Shabbos. And the Rav asked the Kasha on the Sedra after giving a Teret. So everybody was captive. Like, how can he do that? He speaks about all these things here. How Yiddish is like a little Kasha.
Yeah.
Rabban sat there 10 minutes, explained him the Pasuk, gave him a Teret to his Kasha. So he tells me that it's not relevant to me, but that few minutes that Raban did, that could sit down and explain to our boss, that our boss could understand the Teretz, Raban made sure he understood the Teretz. They saw that Torah is a real force, a real power. Torah is not just, you know, that Torah has a koyach for a single, for our boss. He says, and I'm going to tell you about Batam then, he says, today also, for our generation, we really don't know anything. Our children, grandchildren know. But let Rabban explain it. So he says, he tells me very interesting, he says, they made some money over there. And they don't make money over there.
Who made money? Oh, the meeting.
The meeting over there. But everybody walked out, said, he said, also Per Malay, his version is going to survive. Our version won't survive. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what his version was. But they knew he was something different. Mm-hmm. And they all realized that he will survive, we won't survive. This was in 1947. So they had no idea what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They had no idea what this was all about. but they saw that he will survive, we won't survive. This is speaking from Pasha to, you know, finding, you know, for that generation, those young Israel made it, they wanted to stop conservatism, they wanted to make sure that whatever they wanted to do over there. And they weren't prepared to hear speak about Ravan, this and that, but they realized. They didn't even know what they realized. But that's the chush, that's the chush, a koyach, that they could see that. Again, they had no idea what the vision was. They knew what their vision was, but they knew his vision, he will survive. Whatever it was, you know, so that's
about the people.
Those are the people. The people I saw over there, they saw. So I asked him after that, what does it mean? He says, the fact is, this was, he told me this story in 1975. This was like 30 years after the fact. Yeah. And he says, obviously, all the people said prophecy. Torah is building and going, and all our things are just, even then in the 70s, are just becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and this is growing, growing, growing. So a Parsha the Yid could see that and understood it. But, you know, they, at least they were open, they weren't so. They didn't have rocks in their brains or if I said, stay in the cup for a time to come, they didn't realize what's going on. Mm-hmm. Other people.
He touched the people.
What?
He touched them.
Now they saw that there's this
reality
that's not going to have any, that's just going to survive.
So what do you do with yourself? What's your...
That's off the table.
And he had a lot of interesting stuff. And then I sent him the transcript. He wanted to correct it.
Yeah.
He's too busy. Yeah, no time.
Yeah, okay, but sure.
But why did you tell me what you might say?
When Ravan was in when he,
tell me about the Shabbos.
Yeah, this is the Shabbos. This is the story told over.
Yeah, yeah.
It was relevant to different things going on by the Shabbos sofer from my youngest son. So Ravan was in he was young. And Ravan had a mishpacha who wanted Ravan to become a pharmacist to go into medicine. Anyway, Ravan was, Ravan stayed by learning. So Ravan said over once, to say that for my father, that what they wanted, he should go into medicine, was a good idea, because they held that with his cup and his banana, he'd be able to find a cure for different medicines. Mm-hmm. But Ravan held that even if he could find that, it's a Torah kommt das nicht. A Torah keeps the world going. And Torah is talking about. This was before America. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ravan understood that there's a certain curse that people have in their life. And it could be to maybe invent a cure, maybe the one who invented penicillin, mm-hmm. invent all these other things. Mm-hmm. And like my father said also, Haloch Eichel, the Pekuch Nefesh Deich HaKol Torah Kula. But it's a Torah come to snish. Torah is, it might be some Jewish marriage, by Shanti, Torah, and even that boy in Torah, that's what my father heard this in Klesk. I mean, Zerban, before this whole thing, understood already that somewhere along at his he had the achrayas. So my father used to say over this said story to different Baal Batim, whatever the stories were referring to, that if there was a choice for Ravan Kotler to find a cure for a sickness and to build Torah, Ravan Hell was more important to build Torah. And America, the American people, could not understand that. It was Shingas. Cure medicine, save the world, and medicine. Ravan was not that one.
It's always there with the Chofetz Chaim, with the hospital.
Yeah, so there's different mindsets like this. So Ravan held that, so Ravan used to say this, and the Baal Batim, who didn't understand what was going on, they looked at this like the man is not in tune. But over the years, they realized that it's good, it's important to have all the choice of medicine, and it's powerful. Chavayim, in my B.C., Chukash, my words were Samti, was a proposal on the Tzias. It was not a Shkofnik thing, a Shmuz. That's what it is there. So rather, people have Gevalet the Kirchis. And they do tremendous, but if there's in the Save Dover, in the choice of what's important, if you'd be my develop with Torah, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That's the story. The other part of the story is it was part of it was negated to the Yufruf, but this is the
part. Who's Yufruf?
My son, my youngest son, was a fourth Rebbe Yeshiva. It was right before the son, you know, the Shabbos before.
So who told this?
Well, Fah told this over from Iran. Fah used to paraphrase it that the man held that if he was the person of choice to be my material and find a cure for mm-hmm. sickness, it's still, there's no still. The only thing to do is long time. You might return. In reference to the stories that you mentioned to me, the stories, of course, are true. Maybe a detail is missing, but the story basically are true. But there seems to be a background that we're trying to humanize Rabban. And we want to look at it through our human eyes. And our human eyes are how much Baruch Hashem we are, B'nai Torah, and we learn, but we're still little children, just little kids, compared to what Rabban was about. We can't do and be able to say that we look at things through our human eyes. We have to look at things through the eyes of Torah. The Torah eyes of Rabban are something we have to strive to understand it, to look through the way Torah looks at something, to understand how Torah looks at things. And trying to put it as a human aspect, that Rabban was human, is masach le'narish. And in a certain sense, revise cover that Torah, because the kirchus of Rabban is to a kirch of Torah. That everything that Rabban said and did was a direct result of the Torah that he was miyageh, he was kinder, and what he did in his whole life. And in the perception which I have, which I said at the beginning, that Rabban understood his shlichus of the from Hashgacha, what's happening in the world and how he has to react to it and build Torah, and understand that Torah is in my bishkush, my vav. As I mentioned before, you can make all the inventions in medicine, but it's a Torah compass nicht. These are different perceptions, and we have to understand those perceptions, not to make Rabban human in our perception, but we have to work to understand his perception through Torah. And if we use this just example, as I mentioned, and if you had the choice to invent the cure for a certain sickness and be a God of the Torah, you have to understand what that means. And that's what Rabban said, the way my father, we always would paraphrase it to Americana Baal Batan, when Torah began in the early 50s, in the 40s, early 50s, to these people, and some of them were Chashu people. The Hasaga of what Torah is, what the Bible was, just didn't make sense to them. It didn't make sense to them. You could find a cure for a sickness, and more probably my Torah, and learn Torah, it was beyond their scope. In their mind, they're looking at it as humanizing Rabban. It's not humanizing. We wouldn't want to invent the medicine. But if you look for the Kriya HaTorah, there's no Shaila. History has shown that this is what that Rabban's Hasagas is what it's all about. Again, repeating itself there, trying to humanize Rabban, put him in our eyes, is just not what Rabban is about. And we are just being little babies trying to understand something. I don't say I'm better or worse. I'm just trying to say that it's not the matara of Godless to make them human. It's to make us understand Godless.
Sure. Right.